In the May edition of North Bay Biz, we've talked about it some on the air. Women Who Lead is the subject du jour, subject of the month, I should say. And among the in the issue of North Bay Biz, women creating wine. And it's an interesting subject, certainly for us around here, and much more prevalent than you might think. Karen Hart, editor of North Bay Biz, is here. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Pat.
And also Margot Van Staveren, is that correct?
It is.
Okay, Margot is here. She's the winemaker and general manager at Chateau St. Jean. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Welcome. Welcome. Is there any difference in wine making, whether you're a man or a woman?
No. You have to have a passion for what you do, like you would with anything, any great occupation. And so whether you're a man or woman, that's what it takes.
One of the things that I've heard, and that's actually addressed in the article in the magazine too, is some people say that women have different palates than men do. And I thought your answer to that question was very interesting when it comes to the subject of tasting wine.
Well, yeah, I mean, supposedly women have more taste buds, and so in theory there should be more sensitivity. But I really think it's about how you can articulate a wine. You know, if you can't explain what you taste, then it, you know, you're not able to share it, then I don't know if we can taste better or worse than men.
And it's not measurable in any case, because, you know, wine drinking, wine tasting is certainly very subjective. Depends on the person, depends probably on your mood that day, or probably 1,000 other things too. So I think it would be hard to measure whether women tasted wine differently than men, since everybody's different in oh so many ways.
Yeah, definitely depends on your mood. If you're tired, some of those wines aren't looking so wonderful to you.
Now, you've risen up the ranks, correct, at Chateau St. Jean?
I guess you could say that.
Yeah. Was it more difficult for you, do you think, being of the female persuasion?
I don't. I know that not all my colleagues in the whole wine business share that experience. I've been pretty fortunate. No, I don't think it really impacted my rise in the business at all.
And Karen, you're at the helm of this part of the story. And were you expecting there to be a big difference in the women winemakers you talked to?
I was a little disappointed to hear that there's really no difference in how women and men taste.
Did you want to think that we were way better at it?
Or? Yes, yeah. I did. I was a little disappointed. And I told Margot earlier, when I was growing up, what I found was, like, my brother, my father, they would eat anything. And my mother was the one who would say, well, I taste a little bit of nutmeg.
She was the critic.
In the macaroni and cheese.
Yeah. Well, that's right about moms, I think, most probably because they were most often the ones in the kitchen cooking.
Absolutely.
So they probably could recognize things better. My mom, a completely different story, but that's another show entirely. and Margot, talk about Chateau St. Jean and what you do. One of the things that's so interesting to me is how you choose the wines you do.
Yeah,
the grapes you do and then the wines you do.
All right. Chateau St. Jean has, we've been around for about 45 years now, started in the early 70s in Kenwood, and really began with single vineyard designated wines, particularly Chardonnays. That's what people knew us best for.
Yes.
Yeah, they still do. As the years went by, we also introduced Cinque Cépage, our Cabernet Sauvignon. So we have sort of a dual identity in that way now. And how you select them, you know, you have to look at the area you're working in. One of the blessings of Sonoma County is the diversity. And so there, we can grow almost any grape to a very high quality level. So you have, it's a playground. You have so many things you can choose from and different wines you can make. But when you get down to it, it has to do with the specific grape in a specific region. And if it shows excellence, then that's something you should be going after.
And Chateau St. Jean, of course, one of my neighbors across Highway 12 and an area that was severely impacted by the wildfires. And people thought, I think the automatic go-to question was, how is this going to affect, you know, the harvest? How will it affect the taste of the wines moving forward? What say you?
Fortunately, the fire was further enough into the season that most grapes were in, certainly all Chardonnay and Pinot Noir and most of the Cabernet. So there's a very small amount of wine that's impacted. But as Karen and I were talking earlier, you know, in the end, you need to trust the winemakers, trust the producers that you believe in, and know that the wines they'll put in the bottle from Vintage 17 will be free of any sort of smoke impact. the fact of the matter is the vintage 17 wines that came in prior to the fire and some after are just really excellent wines.
Really?
Yeah, they're really lovely wines. Some lovely bright spots there.
Interesting. So no impact moving forward, you know, obviously post-harvest last year and the beginning of production, but anything with regard to the fires moving forward for vineyards?
We don't believe so. No, we don't believe so. And in fact, in vineyards where we might have edges that had been burnt and those vines we thought we'd lose, some of them are showing quite good growth. So I'm not anticipating anything.
Yeah, new growth has been one of the areas of particular excitement for all of us. It began with, just a few green nubs coming out of the soil that got us all sort of excited. And now we see where we are today. And Chateau Saint-Jean, I'm curious about this too. And this has to do with the fires and visitors to Chateau Saint-Jean. And we've talked a lot about it on the air, about the wine business, the tourism business, and how it's been affected. What are you seeing at Chateau Saint-Jean?
Well, immediately after the fire, we were actually closed our tasting room for about 5 weeks.
Yes.
So that was, we had a lot of work, a lot of cleanup to do. And then, we reopened in time for the holidays. But it certainly has been difficult getting the message out to people. Everywhere I've traveled this travel season and all the market visits I've done, I think sometimes people think there's still smoke here, think we're still closed down, and trying to get the message out. You know, we're all open, we're ready to receive, and we're looking forward to a really busy summer. But it definitely has been a slow startup again.
Are visitors surprised to see how unaffected in many ways this area is?
I think so. Yeah, I definitely think so.
Yeah. Well, you can blame that horrifying media for all of the blow-up positions that they did all the way across the country and in some cases across the world as to what actually happened here, when in fact the wineries were really minimally impacted compared to everybody else.
Certainly so. And I think that's a message I've tried to get across as I've traveled around, that, you know, certainly there are some wines that are going to be impacted. But for the most part, this is a personal loss story in Sonoma County. This is so much more than a wine
story.
Thousands
of times over. That's for sure. So
that should be the focus.
What's new and exciting about the wine business you're looking forward to?
There's always something. Every season is new and exciting. I think that's the funny part about this business. You know, you sort of wrap up the last season and then before you know it, you turn around, buds are breaking, and it's starting all over again. And it's that seasonal nature that I love so much, because it there's always a renewal. You don't get to try to make a wine very many times in your life, since you only can do it once a year.
Yeah.
But it's that renewal and that beginning again is always exciting. I've never gotten
bored with
that.
I wonder what it's going to be like. That must be what it's like for you every year.
It is. And you always think this is going to be the absolute best one no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. Until the next year, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. And well, glad to have you here today. And Karen Hart, the editor of North Bay Biz, the Women Who Lead issue has been very popular, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. Yeah. It's one of my favorite issues.
Yeah. And so what can we look forward to in June from North Bay Biz?
June is our education and jobs issue. We're very excited about it. We're going to touch upon Santa Rosa JC's 100th anniversary.
Oh, yeah.
Very exciting.
Good.
That's our cover story. We do a profile piece on the president of Sonoma State University, Judy Sitkaki.
She's an interesting character, isn't she?
She really is. And she had an interesting story.
She and her husband both. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, very excited about this issue. We also talk about the rebuilding efforts of schools in Sonoma County.
So very good.
Great issue.
A week from tomorrow, June 1st, I'm going to go over and deliver the commencement address at the Inova School, which is the school for autistic kids that was attached to the Luther Burbank Center and whose classrooms burned in the fires. And right now they're sort of operating out of some portable classrooms, but the rebuilding has begun there. And I know a lot of schools are in that same circumstance. So I look forward to hearing about that issue and seeing it.
We actually touch upon that. Their school and our issue too.
Very good.
Along with that. Yes.
Very good. Happy graduation to all. A little bit different this year for many students, but a happy occasion nonetheless. Margot Van Staveren. Yes, Staveren?
You've got it. My maiden name is Smith. I should have just left it.
Oh, no. I think for winemaking purposes, you're much better off this way.
Okay, good.
Thank you very much for being here. Appreciate that. Nice to meet you.
Thanks so much.
And Karen Hart will be back with us, the editor of North Bay Biz. Thanks for being here, Karen.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Happy Memorial Day weekend to you both.